All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. We're going to start from the top of Daf Tes. Sukkah Yishana, a lot of very interesting sukkahs today. Sukkah Yishana, literally translated in old sukkah. We'll define what that means in just a moment. Sukkah Yishana, Beishamai posel, Beisil Mashirin. Beishamai says it's posel, Beisilol says it's kosher. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi gives us a little bit of a sneak peek here. Sukkah Yishana, Kidim Mefarish. We're talking about a sukkah that was made before the Yom Tov 30 days. And it was not explicitly articulated that such a sukkah was made for the purpose of sukkah. So I will say, understand we are referring over here to the schach, not to the walls. We don't care about the walls. I mean, we care about the walls, but the truth is we don't really care. The walls don't need to be made l'shem sukkah. The walls just simply need to be durable. That's what we care about. If the walls were not made for the l'shem sukkah, makes no difference. As we've already established a number of different times, sukkah is called sukkah al shem aschach. Because of the schach, therefore, again, when we speak about a sukkah that was made, a sukkah yish, we're talking about old schach. Old schach. So old schach, Beishamai says it's possible, Beisil says it's kosher. Ve'izu is sukkah yishana. And what is the definition of a sukkah yishana? So the Gemara Rashi, So Mishnah says, Kol she'asa kodem l'chag 30 yom. Anything that was made prior to Sukkis, 30 days. Aval imaso l'shem chag, but if you made it for the purpose of Sukkis, afil mitchila hashana k'sheira. Even if it was made from the beginning of the year, the Sukkis kosher. So we'll say, what seems to come out over here is the following. Is that according at least to the Shammai, you require the placement of schach l'shem sukkah. L'shem sukkah. Therefore, again, there are two possibilities. According to the Mishnah, schach that is put on a sukkah within 30 days before Sukkis, by definition, is l'shem chag ha-sukkos, even without any explicit intent. On the other hand, prior to 30 days, in order for a sukkah to be kosher, the schach must be placed on the sukkah explicitly for the intent of schach. A lack of that intent will make the sukkah possible according to Beis Shammai, but Beis Hillel makes such a sukkah, Beis Hillel holds that such a sukkah is kosher. Look at Rashi just one Beis Shammai postlin. So why did Beis Shammai passel a sukkah yishana? The bo'u sukkah lishma. Because according to Beis Shammai, they require a sukkah lishma, meaning that the placement of the schach must be lishma. He says, v'zu stam nasis. V'ilu toch shloshem lechag hava According to Beis Shammai, what Rashi is pointing out is the following. Number one, that the schach has to be placed on the sukkah, lishma, for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkah. Number two, by definition, within 30 days, is lishma, even without any explicit intent. Number three, you can build a sukkah as early as you want, but prior to 30 days, you must have explicit intent. On the other hand, Beis Hillel Mashir and Rashi says, "Delo ba'inon sukkah l'shem chag," because according to Beis Hillel, you do not need to put the schach on the sukkah l'shma. Says the Gemara, "My time to Beis Shammai." I will say, why is it that Beis Shammai requires that the schach be placed on the sukkah l'shma? Omer Kra, because the pasuk says, "Chag asukos shivas yamim l'Hashem." Because the pasuk says that Chag HaSukkos, you'll do 7 days for God, Lashem. So what is Beis Shammai dashing? Oh, what do we see from here? Sukkah ha'asuy l'shem chag bo'inon. So Beis Shammai says, what do you see from here? That you require a sukkah that is made for the sake of the Yom Tov. Rashi says, sukkah l'shem chag, dechsev sukkos l'Hashem, l'shem mitzvahs ha'melech. So the fact that it says you will celebrate sukkahs for God, who else are you celebrating Sukkis for? The fact that the Torah feels the need to go ahead and include that indicates that what? That l'maisa, a sukkah, must be made l'shem mitzvahs sukkah. Okay. Ubeisila, what do Beisila do with this? Remember, Beisila holds that what? That what? That a sukkah yishana is kosher, right? It doesn't have to be l'shem according to Beisila. So according to Beisila, what does he do with this pasuk? Beisila, hahumi baile l'chid Rav Sheshes. He holds that pasuk is necessary in accordance with Rav Sheshes. What does Rav Sheshes say? Da'amar Rav Sheshes mishum Rabbi Akiva, because Rav Sheshes and Rabbi Akiva, minayin la'atzei sukkah, sha'asurin kol shiva. How do you know that literally the wood of the sukkah is usur all 7 days? I will say, what does that mean? What that means is that if you go ahead and you construct a sukkah, let's say for argument's sake, I'm only going to go ahead and be home for the first days of Sukkot. I'm going away. I got a good deal on airfare. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael for the rest of Sukkot. So what happens? I decide, you know what? On Matzah, we'll call it Matzah Yontav of the first days. I want to deconstruct my sukkah, or better yet, I want to make a bonfire. I'm just going to make a bonfire, warm myself by the bonfire. It's a cold sukkah. I'm just going to burn down the sukkah, or I'm going to go ahead and build a deck. I mean, it's a little bit complicated because it's chalamoid, so it wouldn't quite work. But you understand, I want to use the wood for something else. How do you know that you cannot do that? That's what it means. Minayin la'atzei sukkah shasurin kol shiva. Talmud Lomar, chagas sukkos shivas yomim la'Hashem. Because the Pasuk says, This is Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes stands in Rav Yakiva. The Pasuk says that for 7 days the sukkah will be a sukkah LaHashem, which indicates that what? Which indicates that Lamaisa, the sukkah itself is consecrated. V'tanya, Rabbi Huda ben Meseira says, Kishim shechal shim shamayim ala chagiga, kach chal shim shamayim ala sukkah. The same way that the name of heaven literally devolves upon the chagiga, carbon chagiga rabose is the carbon that a person would bring during the regalim. So too, the name of Hashem, i.e. the sanctity, the divine sanctity, devolves upon the sukkah. Shene emar, chagas sukkos shivas yamim laHashem. Because the Pasuk says that the chagas sukkos will be 7 days for Hashem. Ma chag laHashem. Just like the chagiga is l'shem shamayim, af sukkah laHashem. So too the sukkah is consecrated as well. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, ala chagiga, shami chagiga, shim shamayim chalaleim. Also when you have shami chagiga, again these were shlamim. Remember, a shlamim is a carbon that part of it is offered on the Mizbeach, part of it goes to the Kohanim, and part of it is consumed by the owner. So you brought Shalmei Chagiga over each of the regalim. Shim Shamayim Chalaleim La'osran Ad La'achar Haktaras Emurin. So remember, the owners cannot eat their piece until after the sacrificial parts had been offered. Tizachu Behu Basar Hachi Mishulchan Gavoa Ke'eved Hanotel Pras, because the owner did not acquire his portion until after the sacrificial parts were offered on the Mizbeach. So therefore, again, it was according to this approach, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira is saying over here, actually first Rav Shesh is saying the name of Rabbi Akiva, that the same way that Chagiga becomes consecrated, Sukkah becomes consecrated. Why? Shivas Yomim Chag LaHashem. Chagas Sukkos Shivas Yomim LaHashem. So the Gemara, the drasha is linking the Chag ultimately to the Sukkos. Just like the Shem Shemayim is Chal on the Chagiga, so too Shem Shemayim is Chal on the Sukkah. And comes along Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, takes that a step further. I'm sorry, that was just Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, so again, just to follow the flow, Bishamai quoted a pasuk to prove this idea that Sukkah Yeshana is possible. What did he quote for Sukkah Yeshana is possible? Chagasukos Shivas Yamim LaHashem. To show that the Sukkah must be constructed LaHashem. Beis Hillel says, but that's not what that pasuk is for. That pasuk is to teach me what? That Chagasukos Shivas Yamim LaHashem tells me that Chal Shem Shamayim Al HaSukkah. That a Sukkah itself becomes consecrated for the duration of the Yom Tov. Meaning once Sukkah starts, that Sukkah is consecrated and you cannot use it for anything else. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Ubei Shammai nami mi boi li lachi. So now the Gemara reverses it. So Ubei Shammai also agrees with this concept of Chal Shem Shammayim ala Sukkah. If that's the case, then how come he doesn't use this pasuk to teach me this idea? To which the Gemara says, Ubei Shammai boi li lachi. Inachi nami. You're right. Ubei Shammai agrees that this pasuk Chagas Sukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem teaches me that what? That Chal Shem Shammayim ala Sukkah. If that's the case, we're back to square one, which is what? Where does Beis Shammai learn that a Sukkah Yeshana is possible? To which the Gemara says, Elamai Tamai de Beis Shammai. So what is the logic of Beis Shammai? Ksiv Kra'achrina. There's another pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Chagasukos ta'asalach. Chagasukos ta'asalach shivas yamim. The pasuk says, Chagasukos, you shall make for you for 7 days. Sukkah ha'asuya l'shem chag ba'ina. So Beis Shammai darshins from that pasuk that you must live, you must dwell in a sukkah that is made expressly for the purpose of the Yom Tov. Now, also take a look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Chagas sukkos ta'aseh. So the way the Gemara is darshining this pasuk is sukkos ta'aseh l'chag. So the phrase chagas sukkos ta'aseh, literally a Yom Tov of sukkos you shall make, is darshined sukkos ta'aseh l'chag. that you shall go ahead and construct the sukkah for the sake of them. So in other words, what the drasha is, that the phrase is understood a little bit differently than its stated form. Chagas is same words. Chagas sukos ta'aselecha, sukos ta'aselechag. Sorry, samikra, vidar sheyur. So this is one of, this is this concept of Sari Samikra, of ultimately dissecting a pasuk and dashing it in a different direction. So what just happened over here is something very fascinating. So Beshama and Beisila agree. What do they agree on? They agree that the pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem teaches you that what? Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah. That when you construct a sukkah becomes consecrated, meaning what? That over the duration of sukkahs, you may not use it for something else. Where does Beis Shammai learn that a sukkah yishana is possible? Which is to say that in the positive, where does Beis Shammai learn that schach must be placed on the sukkah l'shem sukkah? He learns that out. Chag haSukkos ta'aseh lecha shivas yamim, sukkos ta'aseh lechag. So the Gemara says again, sukkah hasui lechag bo'inon. Sukkah hasui l'shem chag bo'inon. Ubeis Hillel. So what do Beis Hillel do with this pasuk? Beis Hillel says, I'm going to tell you. Hahumi boile laosin sukkah b'cholo shamoy. It's very interesting. You know what Beis Hillel learns out from that pasuk of Osai? This is very interesting. I tell you it's interesting. Chag hasukos ta'aseh lecha shiva. Some teaches you what? You can make a sukkah all 7 days. Now, of course, it's not literally all 7 days because you can't construct a sukkah on Yontiv itself. But what you can do is construct a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Look at Rashi. B'Cholo Shel Moed, Im Lo Asa Mitchila. Now, we'll see this sugya later on, but there's a caveat to this. The caveat to this is what? Is if you didn't make it from the beginning. We'll see a lot of caveats to this. But look at the rest of Rashi. Im Lo Asa Mitchila, Plutas Rebbe Yezer, B'Perek Hayashan, So the Rashi just goes to the Gemara's question. So it's very interesting. According to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Lecha teaches you that you can construct the sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Ubeis Shammai Svir Lehu Rabbi Eliezer. Beis Shammai Adi Anei Holi Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? De Amar Ein Osin Sukkah B'Cholo Shel Moed. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, Beis Shammai holds that no, you cannot construct a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Ubeis Hillel. Less lud Rabbi Huda, Amar Rav. Then now do Beis Hillel not hold of Rabbi Huda's name of Rav? Now what's Rabbi Huda's same name of Rav? Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rav. Asa. So we'll say. So here's what we have so far. So now we have everybody. Let's start with what everybody agrees with. Everybody agrees. Chal Shem Shamayim ala Sukkah. That once Sukkah starts, the Sukkah becomes consecrated, and therefore again the Sukkah. And when I say the Sukkah, we will see halacha lemaisa. It applies to the Sukkah. It applies to the walls. It applies to the tzach. It applies to the decorations. Everything ultimately is what they call a tzasa l'mitzvah and may not be used for anything else over the course of Yom Tov. That's what everybody agrees with. Fundamental machlokes is sukkah yishana. Does the schach have to be placed on a sukkah expressly for the purpose of sukkah? According to Beis Shammai, yes. According to Beis Hillel, no. Beis Shammai's proof text, Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Lecha Shivas Yamim. You have, and if you learn from there, you have to make a sukkah lishma. Beis Hillel uses that same pasuk to teach me what? You can make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. But Beis Shammai says no. In another fundamental machlokes, Beis Shammai says, you may not make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Beis Hillel, let's look at Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Now, do Beis Hillel not hold of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav? Why? What Rabbi Yehuda in the same name of Rav? Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. So I will say, now this is a statement by Tzitzis. Statement by tzitzis, talking about how to make tzitzis on the corner of a garment. Asa min hakotzin. If you made tzitzis from the thorn-like threads, I will say, if you could imagine for a moment what they are describing over here, is if you were weaving a garment, and let's say again, these are different types of threads that are left over from the end of the weave. So you see, when we think about tzitzis, so we think about we have a baguette, and somebody puts tzitzis on that baguette. But remember, in the purest form, so tzitzis, you are making a garment of four corners, and you have to make tzitzis. So the Gemara entertains an interesting idea. As I have leftover threads at the edge of the garment, can I weave those leftover threads into tzitzis? And essentially make tzitzis that are directly part of the garment itself. So asa min hakotzin, this is like the thorn-like threads that hang off. Or minanimin. Nimin are also other threads. These are all the common denominator. These are all threads that are left over after the weaving process. Omin, hagarden, literally from the fringes, psula. In all of these cases, it's pasul. Rashi says over here why. Hoil utiluyin va'omdin kol ela bebeged v'lo nitlu ba l'shem tzitzis lav asi l'shma. Because I've also remember these threads were not placed there for the purpose of tzitzis. Why are they there? Why are they there? They were there as part of the making of the garment itself. So that what's coming out over here is that aloch ma'aseh, in order for tzitzis to be kasha, what has to happen? The tzitzis themselves must be made lishma. In these cases, these tzitzis are not lishma because they're just leftover of the weaving of the garment. On the other hand, minasisin, we'll say sisin means a ball of weaving thread. Minasisin kshera. If you were to make it from the sisin, then it'd be kasha. Why? Look at Rashi, kshera. So what they're describing over here is the following. If you are weaving a beged from a ball of thread, and what happens? You finish weaving the beged, and now you decide to weave additional thread to make tzitzis. That's kosher. Why? Why? Because the tzitzis themselves are being made separate and distinct from the beged. As opposed to, again, the previous cases where I'm just making a beged, and I say, wow, look at that. I have leftover thread. At the end of my, let me just weave that into tzitzis. That doesn't work because that was there for the beged. But if I'm making it from the ball of weaving thread and I finish the beged and I make the tzitzis also, granted, the tzitzis are now going to be attached. Not like an art tzitzis where they're looped through. It's going to be literally woven into the beged, but that's okay because it's a separate act. It's a separate act that creates the tzitzis. That's going to be kosher. Ki amri se kamei de Shmuel. When I said over this statement in the name of Shmuel, Amr li af minasisin nami psula. Shmuel told me that even minasisin is not good. Why? Alma deba'inon tevia lishma. Because it's actually a fundamental machlokis by tzitzis. Because you see from here that tzitzis require even weaving. Even not weaving. The spinning of the thread should be lishma. We'll say it's a we paskin, just using as an aside, that by tzitzis must be made lishma. Meaning when the actual act of making the tzitzis on the baguette must be in lishma, we paskin that the tevia, the spinning of the thread for which the tzitzis, that is made for the tzitzis, need not be lishma. That being said, if you have a couple of extra dollars to spend on your tzitzis or on your talis, you can purchase tzitzis that also have tevia lishma, that have the spin of the shema. It's an extra hiddur, but again, not necessary. So we'll say, why are we bringing all this up? Hachanami ni baya suka asui lishma. And we'll say, why does the Gemara bring this up? What the Gemara says over here is, what do you see from here? You see from here that in the performance of a mitzvah, really the what we call the cheftza shal mitzvah, the mitzvah object, should be made lishma. Meaning the Gemara is making the assumption that whatever's going to be true for tzitzis is going to be true for sukkah. And why not? They're both chefzei mitzvah. If tzitzis has to be lishma, and again, remember, whether it's tevia or asiya, it doesn't matter. The point is, there's some part of the tzitzis process that must be done lishma. Suk should also have to be done lishma. To which the Gemara says, shani hasam. Tzitzis is different. Why? Do amar kra gedilim ta'aselacha. Ta'aselach. I'm sorry, because the pasuk says, no, you have to make gedilim loch. So the fact that it says gedilim loch, loch or lacha, l'shem chovach. No, so for the fact that it adds in that loch indicates that what? That it must be made for the sake of tzitzis. So the Gemara says, okay, hachanami, chag hasukos ta'ase l'cha. Okay, so here by sukkos, meaning if you're going to tell me that the reason tzitzis have to be lishma is because it says loch for you, meaning for an express purpose of tzitzis, I can throw that same argument back by sukkah. Lecha l'shem chavach, to which the Gemara says, no. Hahumi boy le l'miute gizula. I will say that's different because the sukkah, chag hasukos ta'ase l'cha, the l'cha comes to exclude what? That you can't use a stolen sukkah. Then I will say, we will spend much time speaking about the sukkah gizula. It's a fascinating discussion that gets into the topic of karka nigzelis or karka inan nigzelis. Can you ever steal real property or not? So we'll get into that sugi. But the Gemara is suggesting over here that chag hasukos ta'ase l'cha means you can't use a stolen sukkah. Hasam nami mi boile lemi ute gzula. So why don't you say the same thing by tzitzis? That lemaisa by tzitzis gedilim ta'ase l'cha also comes to exclude stolen tzitzis. Hasam ksiv krach. No, the answer is that by tzitzis, Rabosai, there is another pasuk. What's the other pasuk? The Torah says, va'asu lahem. V'asu lahem tzitzis mishelahem. Ultimately, again, so by meaning what this pasuk teaches me, by the way, that tzitzis cannot be, you cannot fulfill mitzvah with stolen tzitzis. How do I know that I came for the mitzvah with stolen tzitzis? The asul lahem tzitzis. We have to make for ourselves, meaning I have to make for myself, you have to make for yourself, and you can't make for mine, I can't make from yours. That tells me that what? That tzitzis can't be made from stolen material. Once I know that, then gedilim ta'aselach teaches me what? That lemaisa, that tzitzis must be made lishma. At least according to Beis Hillel, Chagas Tzukos Ta'aselecha can be teaching me what? That I can't use a stolen sukkah. So I'll say, what comes out at the bottom line of this sugya is still this fundamental machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about sukkah shana, which of course is a very important discussion. A very important discussion. Does schach have to be placed on your sukkah lishma? You know the greatest nafkamina with this. I think Yaakov Moshe mentioned some of this yesterday, but some of the greatest nafkamina with this would be, can I have a non-Jew construct my sukkah? Right? If schach requires placement lishma, that means a Jew has to do it. A Jew has to do it. And maybe one can even make the argument, the shaila is, could it be any Jew? Or does it have to be me? Do I have to say, So Beis Shammai will say, you require lishma. But again, remember, even Beis Shammai's lishma is capped at where? 30 days. Because Beis Shammai assumes anything you're doing within 30 days, ultimately, by definition, is lishma. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, you don't require lishma at all. I'm going to save time at the end. We'll go back. The sheet that I gave you today is the Shulchan Aruch on this sugya, which we'll go back and look at. We'll have time. Look at the Mishnah. I just want to finish with that first. Says the Mishnah, Ha'osa sukaso, tachas ha'ilan. Another great case. A person makes his sukkah. We'll say it's also very exciting because these are all very lemaisa. These are very lemaisa sugya. So you're going to see when sukkah rolls around, people are going to be knocking at your door on all times of the day and night, asking you, Shaz, can you come over, look in my backyard? You're going to be, I'm going to tell them to call you. Someone makes a sukkah underneath their tree. This is a very common issue. So what happens? So Mishnah says it's possible, no different than if you go ahead and you make it inside your house. Okay, now obviously we'll have to define the nature and the scope of that statement. So the Gemara says, that's case number one. Sukkah gabi sukkah. What happens if you make one sukkah on top of another sukkah? So what is the halacha? Ha'elyon mekshera v'atachtona psula. The upper sukkah is kasher. The bottom sukkah is pasul. Rabbi Huda says, in Indian ve'elyona, if no one lives in the upper sukkah, ha'tachtona kshera, the bottom sukkah will be kasher. Okay, we'll have to define that case as well. Says the Gemara. Now, also, you just used to listen. Rashi points out, in the sukkah elyona, sukkah tachtona, obviously you're talking about a case where each sukkah has its own schach, which means that the bottom sukkah, the schach of the bottom sukkah, is the floor of the upper sukkah. Okay, so just to clarify that, says the Gemara. Amar Rava, so let's talk about the tree case for just a moment. Amar Rava, when do we say that a oses sukkas o tachas ha'ilan is possible? When do we say that? So, lo shano ela bi'ilan, shetzilaso meruba mechamaso. That's only dealing with what kind of case? A tree that gives off more shade, that creates more shade than sun. Because again, if you have a tree like that, then lemaisa, the tzel sukkah, the shade of the sukkah is not coming from its own kasher schach, but rather is what? It's coming from the tree that overhangs. But obviously, if again the tree, let's say the branches are more sparse, and therefore again it allows more sun than shade to come through the branches, then in fact the sukkah is kasher, even though what? It is standing underneath the tree. So the Gemara says, Mimai, where do I know this from? Midiktoni ki'ilu asabeso chabayis. From the fact that the Mishnah said, if you build a sukkah underneath a tree, it's as if you built it inside of a home. Why do you have to use this phraseology? It's such a strange phraseology. If you build a sukkah underneath a tree, it's as if you built it in a home. Like, only Jews speak this way, right? Why don't you just tell me what you mean? So just, and again, remember, it's not even symmetrical with the Lashonos we find in other Mishnahs. Right? What do we just have? Sukkah Yishana. Yishamai postly. Right? So just tell me it's kosher, it's possible. Why are you telling me that if you make a sukkah underneath the tree, it's as if you built it inside the home? Just tell me psula. To which the Gemara says, Elohokamash malon, di ilon dumya debayis. Rather, I will say, again, understand that, you know, Remember, Torah Baal Peh used to be Baal Peh. Remember, we had the Gemara in Yuma where the Gemara said, "Lo olam yishana adam estamido derech kitzara," that a person should always try to teach his students in a clear and succinct way. So, besides the fact that it might just be easier to understand information that way, it's also easier to retain information that way. What you often find in Torah Baal Peh is that information was bundled. Information was bundled. What does that mean? What the Gemara is suggesting is something fascinating. If it would have just said, "Oses sukaso tacha sa'ilan psula," then I would have said what? What would I not have known from that statement? What? Why? What kind of ilan are we talking about? So what did Chazal do? They said, "Oses sukaso tacha sa'ilan kilaso b'socha bayis." Boom. So you got two things. You kill two birds with one stone. Number one, I know that it's possible. And number two, I know why. I know why. I understand why. Now why? So Hakmashulan, the Ilan Dumi Debayis. Now what kind of tree invalidates a sukkah? A tree that is like a house. Ma bayis sila sami ruba mechamaso, just like a home, its roof provides more shade than sun. Af Ilan sila sami ruba mechamaso. So to a tree rabosai, the only type of tree that invalidates is the type of tree that provides more shade than sun. Okay, so that's the first thing to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'chi chamasam. So therefore, again, what comes out so far is that the only time that the sukkah under the tree is problematic is when the branches are so thick that they provide more shade than sun. But obviously, we infer from that what? That if the branches were sparse, and therefore, again, there's more sunlight than shade that comes in, the sukkah is good. Why? Because when the sukkah provides shade, that shade will be coming from its own schach and not from the branches above. So the Gemara says, one second. V'chi chamasam mirubim mitzilaso mayhavi. Even if it's true that the branches allow for more sun than shade, there should still be a problem. What's the problem? So the Gemara says, "My habi, hakamit starif schach posel bahade schach kosher." At the end of the day, you are including schach posel with schach kosher. Now we'll say, now look at Rashi for just a moment. It's very interesting. Hakamit starif rashi schach posel. Michuber schach pasul. I will say now. Remember, branches are pasul. Why? Because any schach that's still attached to the ground is pasul. D'chsev ba'aspecha migarncha mikvecha. I will say we'll have this later on. We will see that the Gemara understands. The pasuk says by sukkis. Chagasukos tasalecha shivas yamim. Ba'aspecha migarncha mikvecha. You'll make the yom tov of sukkis for 7 days when you are collecting from your threshing floor and from your wine press. So the idea over here is, the Gemara darshins, that what can you use for schach? Things that come from the threshing floor and wine press, i.e. giduli karka, things that grow from the ground, but they cannot be attached. They must be tulish. They can't be mechuber. They can't be attached. So the Gemara, so look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mimasha atama asif migarncha asif sukascha b'psolos gorn kigon kashnu psolos yakev kigon eshkolos rekonios uzumuros. Fine. Amo tulish b'ilim. Therefore we see from here that what? That schach must be detached. So it's a very interesting case. Now, what's happening over here is the following. What the Gemara is suggesting is, even if the tree is so sparse that it allows more sun than shade, you're still the branches themselves are still what? Are still contributing to the schach itself. And therefore, again, should that not render the sukkah unfit? Now, we'll explain this more fully when we see the Gemara's answer. So what does the Gemara say? Mara says, not a problem. Amarav papa bishachavton. Now we'll say, what's the case? Shachavton literally means you bent them down. Now what does it mean? We'll say, if you can imagine the situation. So if the sukkah, if the branches, let's say, literally just overhang the schach. So what would you do? Bishachavton means you don't let them overhang like that. Rather, what do? You bend them into the schach itself. Or in other words, you mix the branches that are still attached to the tree into the schach itself. Now, what's the chap with that? Look at Rashi. Bishachavton, hishpil anafav lemata mi'uroven im schach kasher. You bend the branches that are attached to the tree lower and mix them into the kasher schach. Ve'in nirin ba'ayim. And therefore, it's not immediately clear. You wouldn't see with the naked eye that there's schach overhanging it. U'schach kasher rabba alav u'mevatla. And remember what happens? you have more kosher schach than non-kosher schach. And therefore, again, the kosher schach is mevatel, negates or nullifies the existence of the non-kosher schach. The midoraisa, kol mili batel beruba. Because we both say, midoraisa, biblically speaking, everything is batel berov. Everything is batel, negative, or I should say, the called the negative or non-kosher item is batel in a simple majority with the kosher item. So both say, here's what's interesting. So why can't you say rove? Why can't you say rove when the branches overhang also? Why can't you say rove there? Because first of all, remember, branches, you can only say rove in a mixture. That's the first thing. The other interesting part that Gemara does not explicitly state, but that is implicit in these words is, here's the problem with overhanging schach. Overhanging schach is a problem itself, and because you know what else it does? It also negates the schach underneath it. So remember, if you have an overhanging tree branch, so the schach that's underneath that tree branch is also not good because the mice, again, it's not providing shade. Shade is being provided. So technically speaking, when you have overhanging hanging branches, that could pose a problem. The way the Gemara says, I've been very easy to deal with the problem. Be mashpil, chafton. Just simply mix in the branches with the schach, employ the concept of rov, of majority, negate essentially, and I'll tell you something even more fascinating. Negate the existence of the non-kosher. I both understand, it's just an aside. When you have rov, I'll give you a simple case. If you have three pieces of meat, two of which are kosher, one of which is not kosher, and they all get mixed together. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Now, midoraisa, rabbinically, it's different. Midoraisa, the non-kosher meat is batel berov. The interesting shayla that comes up is, can you eat all three? Can you eat all three? Right? Because why? So what's the logic? On one hand, because again, I can say, listen, I know there's a non-kosher piece of meat there. Oh, so this is going to blow you away. So one of the incredible chidushim of rov is that according to some of the Rishonim, that when you have rov and you have a biblical majority, the iser is nishapech lios heter. That literally what rov does, we're going to get, I don't want to spoil it, because like in about 2 years, we're going to get to this in Chulin, right? So again, literally the Isser is nishapech. The Isser fundamentally changes. There is a profound, comprehensive, cathartic identity change in the Isser, and it becomes heter. Not everybody agrees with that, but quite a dramatic approach. In any event, the point over here is when you go ahead and you mix that non-kosher schach into, you mix those branches into the kosher schach, so that way, again, the non-kosher schach ultimately also turns into kosher schach itself. So you must say, okay, so what's the chiddush? Okay, if you tell me that you're bending the branches into the schach, bless you, then what is the chiddush? Mao de tema, meaning also, it's what the Gemara is essentially saying is, that's obvious. Okay, I understand that's good. Ma'ala memra, what I've said. I might have thought that no, we wouldn't allow you to bend the branches into the schach, lest you come to allow the tree case in a case where you don't bend the branches into the schach. And I will say again, if you don't bend the branches into the schach, you could have a case where lemaisa, again, the sukkah could really be possible. Therefore, the Gemara teaches me that we're not going to this. So we don't say, essentially what the Gemara is suggesting is maybe we would say that we won't allow you to go ahead and bend the tree branches into the kosher schach and allow you to use that sukkah, lest you come to permit this sukkah without bending the tree branches. Kamashulon, we're not going to that. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, we learned this as well. The Hidla is Hagefen. What do we listen to this case? If you took Geffen are branches, vines, apparently gourds also grow on vine-like plants. So the case over here is you're taking these vines, you're not detaching them from the ground. What are you doing? You're draping them over your sukkah. Okay, kisus is ivy. Very interesting case. I'm taking my ivy or my vines, and I'm draping it over my sukkah. Obviously, I'm not using those items for schach, because lemaisa, again, those items are not kosher for schach. Why? Why? Because they're right, because they're mechuber. They're attached still. They can't be kosher for schach. And then I put an additional schach on top of it. Psula. Daloch is its puzzle. However, let's qualify that. But again, if there's a lot more kosher schach, or for that matter, I detach these vines. Kshira. So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, what's the case? If you're talking about a case where you did not mix in the attached ivy or vines into the kosher schach, how come it's tarif schach posel and schach kosher? You are going ahead and including schach kosher with schach posel. Excuse me, schach posel, schach kosher. Rather, what's the case over here? The case over here is where you are actually bending, you are draping the non kosher schach in with the kosher schach. And what do we see? And what do we see from here? That we're clearly not gozer, meaning on both sides, we're not gozer. We don't say that, no, we're not going to let you use these attached items, lest you come to use them in a way that you don't mix them in with the kosher schach, thereby negating the kashrus of the sukkah. So we don't say that. As long as it's mixed in with the schach, it's okay. So the Gemara says, so now what the Gemara is asking over here is, if you're telling me that this whole case of a oses sukkasotacha sa'ilon, the way to make it kosher, would ultimately be mishachavta, mixing in the branches with the kosher schach, we already learned that earlier. We already have another case of that. The Gemara says, no. Mal detema, hani mili b'dieved. You might have thought the following. Rabbi say, when do we say that you can mix in an ant kosher schach with the kosher schach? You might have thought that's only b'dieved. Aval lechatchilo, but lechatchilo you can't do it. Kamash malano said that you can even employ the strategy of b'shechavtan or chavtan even lechatchilo. So what comes out from this sugi Rabbi say is that halacha lemaisa, you could even go ahead and drape the branches themselves lechatchilo into the kosher schach, and as long as you have a majority of kosher schach, halacha lemaisa, that is the sukkah will be okay. And I'll tell you, halacha lemaisa, we don't require this. Halacha lemaisa, if you're building a oses sukkas atachas, and one is building their sukkah underneath a tree, we paskin as long as lemaisa, the branches themselves allow more sunlight than shade through the schach, then the sukkah is ultimately kosher. Says the Gemara, sukkah gabi sukkah. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? If you made a sukkah on top of a sukkah, so the Mishnah said that the upper one is kosher, the bottom one is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda said, if no one lives in the upper one, the bottom one could be kosher as well. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Bas, why do we know that? Why do we say that a osa sukkah gabi sukkah, the upper one is kosher, the lower one is pasul? To which the Gemara says, because the pasuk says, basukah teishvu, below the sukkah shetachas hasukkah. To which the Gemara says, how do I know that I can't live in a double-decker sukkah? And if I do, and if I live in the bottom one, then it's possible. Because the pasuk says you should live in the sukkah, basukos teishvu. And what do we learn from basukos teishvu? And you can't live in a sukkah that's underneath a sukkah. And you can't live in a sukkah that's underneath a tree. And you can't live in a sukkah that's underneath a bayis. It's got to be a standalone structure. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, adrabo. Besukos tarti mashvan. And I could make a cogent argument the opposite way. Why? Because sukos is actually plural. So maybe again, I could have said no. You dafka can live in a sukkah that's underneath another sukkah. Why? Because the Torah itself employs a lashon, a plural lashon. To which the Gemara says, "Nachem bar Yitzchak besukos ksiv." Alright. So also going back to our see a couple of days ago of Yesh in Lamasoras in Lamikra. Remember again, basukos is written chaser. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that whenever a word is written chaser, what that does is it deprives you of the ability to darshan it in the plural sense. Okay, on Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rabbi Yirmiya says the final verse, "Pamim shishtein ksheros." So now we're referring to the case of the sukkah, agabi sukkah. Sometimes when you have a sukkah, agabi sukkah, so you could have a situation where both of them are kosher. "Pamim shishtein psulos." Sometimes they're both pasul. Sometimes the upper one, the lower one is kasher, the upper one is pasul. And sometimes the bottom one is pasul and the upper one is kasher. Now, both said the Gemara is going to go through each of these cases one by one to show us lamaisa how all of these cases work. We're actually going to stop over here in the Gemara because I want to share with you just a little bit of halacha before we go ahead and go back there. So if you look at the pages I handed out to you, so the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Again, so remember, we'll pick up tomorrow with the clarification of the four cases. But look at number one, just quickly. The Shulchan Aruch says the following. Sukkah Yishana. So again, you can see this is Aruch Chaim, Simin Taf Reish Lamed Vav, the sugya of Sukkah Yishana. So Sukkah Yishana, an old sukkah. The Haimna, remember what's the definition of an old sukkah? Now, if you look at number two quickly, the Mishnah, two Aleph, the Mishnah Brus, Sukkah Yishana Perish, Haschach Hayashan. So also remember again, this whole discussion is about schach, nothing to do with walls, because as he pointed out before, with walls they can be as old as you want. So what do you do about sukkah yishana? So remember, by definition, the halacha defines sukkah yishana as any sukkah constructed more than 30 days before sukkis, kshera, is kosher. Ubilvat sheyichadish ba davar apta begufa l'shem chag. Va'afilu betefach al tefach sagi imhu b'makom echad. So we'll say, how does the Shulchan, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Shulchan Aruch says like this. Number one, first of all, is that if you make a sukkah within 30 days, by definition, that is a sukkah, that is a sukkah that was done l'shma. That's number one. But let's say you went ahead and you made it prior to 30 days, it's kosher. But, says the Shulchan, now remember, we'll say, the assumption is, how are you making that sukkah before 30 days? Not l'shem chagasukos. I put it up. I put it up. No explicit intent. Or for that matter, maybe I had not and you put it up. So it's not l'shem mitzvah sukkah. So what do I do now? Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's kosher. However, bilvad sheyichadish badavar. What should you do, says the Shulchan Aruch? Something very interesting. You have to literally be mechadish something. Now, what does it mean to be mechadish something? He says, v'afilu b'tefach al tefach sagi, im makom echad, v'machidush al p'nei kulo sagi afilu kol du. I'll say, listen to this. What do you do? You have to do something in the schach that shows that you're making the shem mitzvah sukkah. So what's the simplest idea behind this? You get up on your ladder, you lift it up, and you put it down. So you lift it up, and I'm putting it down back. He says, preferably, you should do something in a tefach by tefach area. Or he says, if you're going, let's say I have bamboo poles that go across the length of the sukkah, with the sukkah. So if I lift it up and the whole pole lifts up, that's enough. So any small tikkun, any small action to go ahead and do something, this is with the schach, to lift up the schach, put it back down, l'shem mitzvah sukkah, boom. I now have a sukkah l'shma. But the Mishnah Berurah is something very important. If you look at if two dalid, so the Mishnah Berurah is something very interesting. He says, "Haynu lechatchila ulemitzvah ba'alma." This is only a lechatchila and simply for to do the mitzvah in a lechatchila dika fashion. Conditionally, avo lechatchila asam etchila l'shem dira. The as possible dira. We'll say, what are we concerned about? The truth is, here's what's interesting. Because, you know, it sounds like we paskin like Beis Hillel. That's clear, right? We reject the notion of Beis Shammai. We paskin that a sukkah yishana is kosher. So we'll say, what does that mean? That means if you built your sukkah, not within 30 days, because remember, within 30 days, the sukkah is always considered to be lishma. I built it 35 days before Sukkot, and I had no intention about Sukkot. And let's say I didn't do anything to that sukkah, and I come into that sukkah and I'm the sukkah, what's the halacha? The sukkah is kosher. What the Shulchan Aruch is saying is, l'chatchila, we want you to do something to the schach. Just lift it up and put it back down, l'shem mitzvah schach, l'shem mitzvah sukkah. Why? What are we concerned about? We're concerned about a case of where someone created a structure as a permanent dira, as a permanent domicile. One may come, remember, let's say somebody made a hut for themselves. Can I use that hut, l'shem mitzvah sukkah? Can I use that hut? The answer is no. Because again, remember, a hut that was made for actual domicile purposes, diras keva, cannot be used for sukkah unless, of course, again, the schach was lifted and then put back down. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, we're concerned about that kind of case, that if we don't do something with the schach, you may come to be matir, even the use of a diras keva for the purpose of sukkah. Therefore, in order to avoid that, we want you to do a little something with the schach, just lift it up and put it down, l'shem is a sukkah. But halacha l'maisa, we paskin like Beis Hillel, that a sukkah yeshana is kasher, so meaning if I built my sukkah before 30 days and didn't do anything with the schach and used that sukkah over sukkahs, l'maisa I am yotzei the mitzvah, but l'chatchila, we like you to do something with the schach to render it lishma, l'shem mitzvah schach, in order to avoid any appearance of the usage of a domicile constructed for other purpose, for the purpose of sukkah. All right, we'll stop over here. Again, there's more halacha. If we have a chance, I want to do with you also the Shulchan Aruch on the sukkahs, Ganbach and Rav Kash from yesterday's sukkah, but we'll save it for another day. Absolutely, that is correct. That's all you have to do. I thought you're not allowed to do that to create a situation. You are.